Today's daf in Masechet Bava Metzia is daf Kuf Chet, and we're holding on the top line, and we're right up to Rabba Bar of Nachman. So Rabba Bar of Nachman, you remember yesterday the story where they were trying to get Rabba Bar of Huna to cut down his trees, and he refused to cut them down because he said, you know, there's no way that there's going to be any purpose in it because the owners on the top, upstream and downstream, are never going to cut because they have government influence. So it happened that one day Rabba Bar of Nachman was going down that river in a boat, and he sees like this forest at the edge of the river, and he tells the people, "Who the hell owns this forest over here? What a chutzpah! You're not allowed to have a forest at the edge of a river." So he didn't know the whole story. So he sees Ahu Abba, the Koya Gudadara. He says, "Who is this guy?" And they say, "It's Rabba Bar of Huna." He says, "I can't believe it. The Yada Sarim Vazganim Aitabimal Azerishana? What? The best people, they're the ones who are doing the biggest Isurim first?" So he tells them, "Everybody in the boat, out we go. We're cutting down the whole thing. Omalu, kotsu, let's get rid of this forest." Rabba Bar of Huna is walking along, having a gingerly stroll in his beautiful forest, and he finds these people cutting down his trees. So he says, Ashke the Chayit says, "Who is it that's cutting down my trees? May his own branches be cut down." So man, katsye takutz anpe. Let his children all drop dead. So they say that indeed all the years that Rabba Bar of Huna was alive, Rabba Bar of Nachman was never able to have a living child. Loikayim Lezari lost all of his children. Omer of Yehuda Hani, Hakol, anybody that is part of a city is Mukhuyev Le'igle Gapa. Everybody has to go out to build the wall because that's an absolute necessity. Even Yitomim.
But that's against the bank
law? Absolutely. Afilu miyatmin. Even Yitomim. Except for Tamir Chachomim. Why? Tamir Chachomim don't need any walls. Because the Torah takes care of them. Martaima. It says, "B'shoch b'chat tishmar alecha." Even when you're fast asleep, the Torah watches over you. So why would you need to build a wall? But when it comes to lekarya depatya, when we have to go out to dig water sources, wells, whatever, then even the rabbanon have to participate. But that's only where they get a company to do it, and they're just collecting money from the population. But when they force people into work gangs to do it themselves, then the rabbanon don't have to participate. Where they don't go out in work gangs, avola uchluza, you don't force rabbanon to participate. Monetarily, yes. Physically, no. Because it's not their affair. It's rabbanon labnei mefek uchluza nino. There's no way to draw them into that type of activity. Omer of Yehuda, another din, is L'charya de Nahara, where a river needs dredging. So like the water can't pass properly and boats can't pass by. So then you can collect money. Anybody that's on the river, Tatoi, downstream from where the area is constricted, they have to participate for the upstream people, Messiah, because over there they need to participate with the Eloi, because basically even though the constriction is upstream, obviously anybody from that point on is going to be suffering from the lower water level and their inability to have shipping come to him. So it makes sense. But people upstream, they don't have to worry to participate for the people downstream, because as far as they're concerned, they're perfectly happy. If the water is constricted downstream, it's only going to help me up here, because I'll have a water, higher water table up in my area. And of course, it's exactly the opposite when it comes to sewerage. When it comes to sewerage, drainage. So drainage, chilufa b'maya demitra. It's the exact opposite, where over there, if you've got a problem in a sewer downstream, so then the upstream people are the ones that have to help the downstream people. But if you've got a constriction in a sewer or a stoppage in a sewer upstream, the people downstream are perfectly happy not to have your sewerage coming by. Thank you very much. So, no, we don't want to participate in fixing the pipe. Thank you. Okay? And the truth is that the Tzibraita, Tanya Aniyochi, suppose you have five roofs, each one a bit lower than the other ones. You know, these houses that are built on Ganot, five garden patches, one going down the mountain, one above the other. And then the stopkot mai mi mayanechad. The water is running in to the upper one, or the lower one, to the lower one, through the five levels. So if anything happens to the water pipe on top, then obviously anyone down the mountain has to help, because they need that water. But that would turn out that wherever the problem is, it's only from that point down that you have to participate, which would mean that the one on the bottom, they're going to have to, even if they have to fix it alone, they're going to have to fix. To whatever level they participate with everyone, wherever the stima is. And even if the stima was all the way on the bottom, then they would have to be metakenet latzma. But the opposite is true in this braita, in the case of sewerage, where you have chamesh chatzirot that are draining all into a single sewer downstream. Minit kalkel habib. So then everybody who is upstream from the sewer has to be a participant in fixing it, because they can't have the sewer backing up. So kulam betaknoti betaktonah. Which means that in that case, the Elyon now would have to be metaken, where even by itself. So Elyon metaken etim kulam. Whatever point is that starts on top, and if the blockage is basically right on top, then the upper one will have to be metaken et latzma. Well, by Shmuel, Haiman de Achsi, Berakta de Nahara. A guy in those days, they had like a homesteading act. The homesteading act was that any unsettled property, if you move in and you homestead, the government ultimately gives you a grant to that property. Now, areas that were alongside a river where boats would tie up and would load and unload technically wasn't owned by anybody. And therefore, there was really no one who could stop someone who wanted to be ma'asik karka for farming purposes or home for whatever it was. So if somebody wanted to homestead in the area that's generally used by shipping, there's really nothing to do about it. So it's chatzifa, it's a heck of a chutzpah to do something like that, because the fact is that the rabbim is using this for shipping, but there's nothing to do, because the government grants the contract. So Luke Lobisakinomai, because of that, you can't get out of it. Because the Minagamadina, of course, is the Koveya ultimately. Nowadays, where the Persians have written contracts to anyone who will homestead near a river, and the contract stipulates the Kokatvi Parsoi, that you get to keep the property into, all the way into the river itself, up to the height that a horse is able to walk into, up to its neck. So, k'nelachat molit savari susya b'maya. But of course, nobody would actually farm or build a house that close to the river. So what they would do, let's say there would be marchit 20 meters, they would fence off their land so that there was no indication that they also owned the land all the way up and into the river. But now if somebody tries to claim that land and to homestead it, then of course misalkinle, because now the government contract is to the field that is closer to the river, so that even though they fence their field away from the river, they can certainly force out anybody who attempts to claim the land of the river itself, up to the river itself. So
when
now
the land is set aside for the
No. The government doesn't give a hang. The government went ahead and gave you a contract that technically makes you the owner into the river.
Even that space where
correct.
Where the irrigation. Now that also belongs to that homesteader.
Correct. But the homesteaders are not chutzpanyats to take it. So we said before, it's chatzifi. Nobody takes it. I mean, that's the minig is that you fence off your field 20 meters away. But just because you fenced it off doesn't mean you don't technically own it. So nowadays, on the contrary, because of the Persian minig, if somebody tries to claim that area, they say, well, nobody's living here. The closest field is 20 meters away. Why do I have to worry about it? On the contrary, then you can get rid of them. Because now, technically, the government has made it clear that it belongs to the person whose field is closest. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, Haiman, the Arzik, a guy who takes a homesteaded field, and that field is located between two brothers who own their father's estate that they inherited, and they simply have not been able to get together the cash that they need to homestead that piece. So somebody comes in now, which is really rotten, and he comes in, he's got the cash. So he moves in there and he starts farming the area so that these two brothers cannot now have a contiguous field. That is horrible. And the same thing would be true if somebody does that. There were two shutafim, and these shutafim were unable to afford to homestead the land in between them. And a guy comes, and he does it. That is really a chutzpah. So Betty should be, that's a chutzpah. But again, there's nothing to do about it because the government's going to give you a contract. The government couldn't care less who's on either side. So there's no way that we can undermine the government contract. And therefore, Saluke Misalkina. Whereas Rav Nachman says that we can even be Misalik. So that we feel is such a violation of normal human dignity in Asita Yoshev HaTov that it's mamish and iser. If, however, the taina is a taina of a bar mitzvah, remember that a bar mitzvah is that the Rabbanan provided a right of first refusal to anybody who is up against the boundary of a property that is about to be sold. So if I own something next door to a field that a guy wants to sell, he has to offer me a right of first refusal. And otherwise, if he sells to somebody else, then I have a right as a bar mitzvah to come to the buyer and to get him out of there and say, listen, basically you bought it. Thank you very much. You bought it for me. Here's your money. So in a case where the people that you bought the field in between are not brothers, like the case we talk about, are not shutafim, there we certainly do not have a right because you're coming and saying, hey, that's not fair. That field was next to my field. And I could have eventually gotten the money together. That is not a taina. And lo misalkinam leh. But where you're really coming between two people who are essentially shutafim and can't get together because they don't have enough money, that's where Rav Nachman was talking about being misalkinam leh. Nargoy Amre, Afilu Mishum Dina de Bar Mitzvah, even where the only problem is a Bar Mitzvah Taina, and you didn't buy the peace between two Shutafim or two brothers, that since the din of a Bar Mitzvah is built on the Asita HaYashar V'Atov B'nei Hashem, so because of that we say to the guy, look, you could buy a piece of property or homestead a piece of property anywhere, and for this guy, it makes a tremendous difference to have this particular piece of property because it enables him to expand his current holdings without needing to spread out in different places. And it'll save him 80% of his overhead. And that's a real avera to do that. So according to the Nardoi, we could even be misalikim on the standard din of bar mitzvah because of Asita Vayasha Vatov. Now, if you go and you ask the guy who's got the field next door, in general din, where a field now is up for sale, and you made the offer, which was the right of first refusal, to the bar mitzvah. The question is, if the guy says to you, okay, you go to him and you say, Izalizbun, is it okay if I sell it to somebody? And the guy says, okay, go ahead and sell. I can't afford it. So the question is, must you get a signed contract by him or a kinyan by him that is a commitment that he's allowing you to sell? Or is it just a question of a verbal sign-off and the guy just says, look, I can't afford it, it's okay, or not? So Ravina says, look, you made him an offer. The guy said no. That's all. You're not mechuyev to make kinyanim on it. Whereas Nardoi Amre, tzorech lemikna mine, and indeed that's how we pass him. Hilchata, tzorech lemikna mine. Now, hashka de Amre, tzorech lemikna mine, if it's true that you must make a kinyan, if you went ahead and you didn't make a kinyan, and you sold it without that kinyan, even though the guy told you verbally it's okay, right? So, if the guy comes with the money, and he says, look, you know, I didn't really mean it, but I had no choice, but you notice I never signed off on it. So then he wants to buy the field now from the guy that you sold it to. And he can do that, we just said, because Sarah Klemiknaya mean it. So if there was changes in the value of the field, it changes in the reshus of the Balametza. So I occur vizo bershutai. So in other words, let's say the value of the field has gone up since the purchase. Now it's worth double what it was. He's the one who made that profit. And he only acts because we look at the person who bought it as if he were acting on the behalf of the Balametza. And therefore, if it's worth more, I don't have to pay you its current price. We view the original kinyan as having been made for me, and therefore I pay you only what you pay. The same thing is true if the value has gone down. I, the Bala Meitzar, was the one who suffered that loss, and therefore, because the kinyan was for me. Yeah.
How much time is involved? How long can this go on?
We shall see. Now, Zavan b'meya v'shavim matayim. Now, how about in a case where you bought cheap? So now the question is, over there, the guy's coming and he's saying, well, you know, I want to pay you what you paid. And you're saying, yeah, but I paid way below market value because, you know, I had an in, I was friendly with the seller, whatever. And therefore, you would have to pay me the real value of the property. So then, Chazina, then we have to investigate the case. If the seller was actually in need of the cash, because of that he was selling cheap, and he would have sold cheap to anybody, so then you can give him the 100 and take it. But if the seller did a special act of friendship for this guy, normally he wouldn't have sold. So then, if not, then you have to pay the real value because you can't take advantage of that purchase, this guy has to give him back the money that it was really worth. So then Yoiv Le'Matayim has to give him the 200, and then he can take it. Now, Zavan B'Matayim, how about the other way around? The guy overpaid. See, he paid 200. Now, it really was only worth 100 all along, and now this Bala Mitzvah comes up, and he says, I want to buy it off of you, you know, because you bought it for me. And so the guy said, okay, if I bought it for you, so then give me the money I paid. So then Sofra, they thought in the Beis HaMedrash that he can taina, look, a shliach is only where it's beneficial. Where it's not beneficial to cost me more than it's worth, for that you weren't a shliach. You're only a shliach to buy it at its real price. So therefore, I'm only going to pay you 100. You take the loss because you're a shmo, and you overpay. Because l'tikuni shedartich v'lo la'avate, I sent you as my shliach, so to speak. In other words, Chazal, takana is to view him as if he was doing it for you. But I sent you to make things better. I didn't send you to overpay. So I'm not going to pay you that extra. That's what they thought. Omar le'mar kashisha. You should know that the Nardois say that Reb Nachman's psak is that in the same way that ain ona ala karkaot, there's no such thing as overpricing a piece of karka. So in the same way that there's no such thing as overpricing a piece of karka, there's no way to tell someone you overpaid. Because basically, karka is worth whatever the market will bear. If I want to hold on to my dira until I find some friar that's willing to pay double what anybody else would, and that's how the property in the robot went up so insanely. You know, look, okay, fine, you don't want to buy at that price. I'm not selling. I don't want to sell for less than that. There's always some crazy Frenchman or American that's going to come along who wants, yeah, I don't care what I pay, an extra billion here and there. It's not their game. So already now that redefines the value of the price. So what's a check to talk about on a? So you can't come back and say to the guy you overpaid. But it has no meaning.
And this only applies to karka.
Only to karka, yeah.
So when somebody approaches me and says they want to buy my bicycle, and I tell them 3,000 shekel, and they look at me like I'm insane. I said, look, I don't want to sell. But convince me. Give me a price that would make me say, yeah, okay, I'll sell it. I can't do that.
Sure you can. Yeah, because you're telling him, look, it's only worth $100, but I don't want to sell unless you pay me $1,000. That's fine. Now, as long as he knows that he's overpaying and he wants to, that's fine. Okay, now, how about, this is a really interesting case. It's amazing how, like, there's so much realism in these cases. A guy goes ahead and he sells a little piece, a small plot of land. Rich, you're going to like this. This is why they call it a plot. He sells a small plot of land in the middle of his field, right? So now this plot of land is completely surrounded by the person that I bought my field from, right? However, what happens is because I bought that piece of land in the middle of his field, I am now a Baal Meitzar to all the rest of his field, because I border on his entire field, right? So now we suspect something fishy, because we say, why did this end up? Who buys a piece of land in the middle of somebody else's field? And why did he sell a piece of land in the middle of his property? There's only one good explanation. The guy essentially wants to buy the whole field. He knows he can't buy the field because there's a Bala Meitzar on every side that's going to drive him crazy. So he buys a small piece in the middle, right? So
redefining the district.
What?
Redefining the district, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that means. So when he buys in the middle, there's nobody who can stop him from buying in the middle because there's no one but the seller who is Govel in the middle. But once he buys in the middle, now nobody can stop him from buying the rest of the field. Because what are they going to say? You can't buy that field because it runs along my field. The guy says it runs along my field too. I'm stuck in the middle of his field. So therefore, we see the whole thing as a plot to get the plot.
No, so, it's fair and square.
Could also be.
It's like this, you can just box.
Zovin le Giruya de Arab Mitsa Nixon. So then, if there is a reason that makes sense that this piece would have been sold as a separate piece, let's say it's such a high quality piece of land that it's way beyond everything else that I'm farming. So I'd like to sell it because I don't need that kind of quality. Or it's a horrible piece of land that I want to get rid of. Whatever. But there's something that qualifies it to be sold separately. So kasina iditu, iziburitu. So then fine. Then it's a legal sale. But if there's nothing that would justify separating out that piece of land, then we view it as a trick. So the ilo, iarume komarim, we see it as a way of sneaking out of the din of Baal Metzah, and we don't allow it. Matana, you should know in general, if a guy gives a gift, then there's no din of a Bar Metzah. You have a right to give a gift to anybody you want. And the Baal Metzah can't say, hey, if you're giving a gift to him, why not sell to me? I mean, that makes no sense. I don't want to sell. I have a special relationship that makes me want to gift it. The problem is, how do we know that a contract of a gift is just not a free and fancy way of taking money from someone, and instead of turning it into a sale, you give him a gifted title. So that way you get around the whole din of Baal Metzah, because the guy says, hey, that wasn't right, why'd you sell it to him? You say, I didn't sell it to him. Read the contract. I gifted it to him. But what makes us really believe that it's a gift? There's no downside to you in calling it a gift when you got money under the table for it, right? So like, you know, who knows? Maybe it's some kind of tax plot, or in this case, a bar mitzvah plot. So then, what's the halacha? The halacha is that if the contract to the recipient includes property insurance, something is very fishy. Nobody gives property insurance to a gift recipient. So then we understand that really this is a sale in disguise. And it's trying, how do you say okay in English? To get around the din to yes, thank you. It's circumventing the dinim of Baal Metzah. And therefore we don't allow it. So if it was constantly achrayut nechasim, then eat by mishum din of the bar mitzvah. Then we allow the bar mitzvah to assert his right of first refusal. Now, how about if a guy has a lot of property and he sold his entire holdings to somebody, and one of those fields, and these are scattered properties that he's got, one of these fields has got a bar mitzvah problem, and the guy next door wants to buy it. Over there, in such a case, there is no din of a Baal Metzah. Because it could be, we certainly do not make a din where the seller may lose because of the din of Bar Metzah. And since over here, he might be in a very good position to be able to sell all his properties. Whereas if he starts saying, well, I'm going to sell you everything, but not this, then the whole deal will fall apart. We certainly cannot be Machai of him to start worrying about the Baal Metzah of one of his fields. Right? And this happens very often, by the way. It's a very common kind of thing. If you sell me everything, fine. I'm not interested in starting to split up the properties that I want, right? Okay. So this happened with Gavi, actually. He had like his house property on the other side of a river. And the people that were buying the hotel, they said, no, you got to sell the whole thing or nothing. You know, you don't play that kind of shtick with God. He says, okay, nothing. But Lamaisa, I mean, they tried to get it from, you know. So, and we can't be Mechayev and Bishum Dinu de Bar Metzah. Furthermore, if you sell a field back to the person from whom you bought it, there's no din of a bar mitzvah, because it's just as much hayashar v'hatov to allow an original owner to recover his field as it is to sell to a guy who's next door. So then there's no din of bar mitzvah. If you buy a field from a goy, so zavan me'ovei kochavim, or you sell a field to a goy, in neither of these cases is there a din of a bar mitzvah. Let me explain why. If you bought a field from a goy, and then the bar mitzvah comes to you as the buyer and says, hey, you should have left that and let me buy it. You know, that wasn't right. There you say to the other guy, to the bar mitzvah, you say, look, you should be thanking me, buddy. You know, I bought this field and I got this mamzer out of the way for you. All right? So I chased away a lion from your field. Now you got tainas. Avri avruchi lecha mimitzvah. So that you can't come to me with a taina. If I sold a field to an ovid kochavim, I'm a no goodness. That's true. But the din of a bar mitzvah is said on the buyer. You should not have bought this field. And you're not doing a yashar v'tov. Go find yourself another field. But to an ovid kochavim, of course, what are you going to tell him? Asita yashar v'tov? You can't tell him asita yashar v'tov. The problem is that the guy who sold to a goy, he has done something terrible. So what we... One moment, please. What?
The pasuk says, Bnei Hashem's. He's not related to Hashem's. It's not just he's a goy. The pasuk is said in context of Bnei Hashem. He's a nachri, so he's not within their relationship. It's, right? It's stronger than just not being Jewish. He's not... Okay.
I just wish you could just wait until a sentence is finished, because especially with the time lag and changing the direction of the, you know, the microphone. All right. So in that case, however, Shemute Vare Mishantinon will put the seller to a goy into Nidui until he accepts all damages that end up coming from the fact that he sold to a goy. So he has to be mekabalai kol unse da'ate mimachmate. Now, how about if a field is a mashkanta, right? And now the lender wants to buy the field. There's no din of a bar mitzvah. Because, as Ravashi pointed out, I'm really sabed amat mechasa. I was told by the Beis Din of Mata Mechasya an insight into the word mashkanta. One of the meanings of mashkanta in Hebrew is shachin, right? So it means dushkona gabe. This guy is considered to be Mr. Neighbor. So once you make a mashkanta, it becomes Barnea's neighborhood, by definition.
Mr. Rogers.
What's the point of... And who cares? Because l'maynaf gemina for the din of a bar mitzvah. Remember, the whole din of a bar mitzvah is because of the fact that he is shochein along this property. But the lender is the ultimate shochein because he's got this lien and kinyonim on the property as if he's already living there. So he for sure can outbid, so to speak, in rights to be able to buy the field that he gave the loan for. How about a guy who has an option to get a field nearby his own fields, and he has to sell off something quickly in order to be able to afford it? So limkor berachok v'ligol bekarov, or limkor bera v'ligol biyafeh. So he wants to be able to get a field that's a much better field, and he's got a deal. There's no din of a bar mitzvah there, because wherever I've got to go and get something done fast, I don't have to start looking for rights of first refusal or waiting till you schlep around. Anything that is going to prevent the sale from happening, I'm not mechuyev to lose out. The same thing is true if I've got a tax bill, and I have to sell this field to pay taxes. You never know. They could come tomorrow and they could say, well, we've doubled your taxes. You didn't pay yesterday. You have to pay immediately. So if you got a deal on the field, just sell. The same thing is true for mizonot. But if the owner died and now you need mizonot for the almana or to pay for a wedding for the daughters or whatever, it brooks no delay. And therefore, there's no chiyav of going around for rights of first refusal. Same thing is true if you need to sell a field for kfura. And so those things brook no delays. Unless by Mishum Dina de Bar Mitzra, remember that we've had this before, that the Nardoi pointed out that Yitomim that need to sell off for karga, to pay taxes or for mizoni or for kfura, Besdin sells property. If there's normally, Besdin is mechuyev to sell only with public auctions with 30 days of advance notice of the, which is called the akrazata, that field, this field is going to be up for auction. That way they are able to get more money for the field. And they don't have a right to sell without that, except for these three purposes. So in the same way that these three purposes brook no delay for public auction, they also obviously are enabling you to sell without needing to run around getting the rights from the neighbors. Le'isha, furthermore, you want to sell a field to a woman, or you want to sell a field to Yitomim, you want to sell a field to a Shutav, who's already a Shutav in this field, you want to sell your piece to the Shutav, in any of these cases, there's no din of a bar mitzvah, because you can't tell a woman who has an opportunity to buy this field from you, you know, well, listen, just because you had this opportunity, you can always go find another field. For me, this is the field next door to my property. It's very important. You can't say to a woman, you can always go and find another field, because that's not the derech of a woman to go running around. She doesn't know what's going on. People are not anxious to go get into in business with a woman. She's going to drive them crazy. And so whatever it is, if she has an opportunity, you can't tie it. You shouldn't have taken that opportunity. Same thing is true for Yitomim. It's not the derech of Yitomim to go around trying to learn about the property in the area. And a shutef, obviously, already has his own needs for this. So how can a bar mitzvah take it away? Now, forgetting about...
Isn't the shutef considered a bar mitzvah? It's a hand is.
Yeah, exactly. He's the ultimate bar mitzvah. That's what we're pointing out, really. Now, forgetting about the specific din of bar mitzvah, I mean, there's always a sense of yashar v'tov in determining if two people want a piece of property. It's no sweat off your back, right? So now, who should come first? Let's say you have people that are your shcheinim in your town. And there's people that are shcheinim to you because they own fields near where you own a field, somewhere else. So over there the halacha is that the shcheinei ha'ir are kodmim. They're more of a shcheinut. And this is a din of shcheinut, shcheinut tova. If you have a shachin or a Talmud Chacham, neither of whom, this is, remember, none of these people are Bali Meitza. It's just a question of what the level of their relationship is to you. So if you have a shachin and a Talmud Chacham comes first. A Karov and a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham comes first. But we weren't sure, Ibailu, how about if you have a shachin who's on one, wants one of your field, and a karov who wants one of your field. Who comes first? Tashma. Tov shachin karov me'ach rachok. There you go. So better a close neighbor than a relative that you have no relationship with. Suppose, getting back to the din of a bar mitzvah, suppose you've got a bar mitzvah and another guy, one of whom is offering zuzetavi. He's got money that's more easily accepted in stores. And the other one has zuze tekule. He's got money that weighs more than the other guy, But it doesn't have the type of picture on it that allows it to flow as quickly. It doesn't matter who's got it. There's no din of a bar mitzvah. You have a right to taina. I'd rather have that than this. So I'll take my zuzet tekule because I'll take my time and cash it in, but I'll ultimately get more for it because it weighs more. Or you can taina, I want the money that I can use right away. You know, and therefore you can't tell me I should take the offer from the Bala Meitzar because I'll lose out. Suppose the Bala Meitzar sends you a closed box of cash and another guy is sitting there counting out the cash to you. Now, you say to yourself, look, I'm not going to open up his closed box of cash to see the offer because he'll say I stole something and I'm not going to touch the guy's clothes, you know. He's got a sealed wallet, basically. I'm not going to touch it. So, you know, your friends are saying, all right, so wait till he shows up and he'll open it. I don't want to wait till he shows up. Remember, you have to wait till he shows up. He didn't send me money. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's a delaying tactic. So over there, let Baby Shem Dina the Bar Mitzvah. One's got a closed box, the other one's got counting out cash. Furthermore, suppose the Bala Mitzvah says, oh, okay, let me just run out, you know, and I will find somebody to lend me the money or I'll sell something. I'll be right back. Thank you very much. Lo Natrina, and I'm not going to wait for you to get the money together. But how about if he sells, I have the money in my mattress, you know? So I just need to run home and bring the cash. So then what? Am I mechuyev to wait for him and I may lose this other guy? He says, Izel Aite. So then Chazina, then you have to make an estimation. If this is a guy that it makes sense that he would really have that kind of money in his mattress, see, Gavra the Amidu, the Azulamite, if you really believe that he could go and bring this money, so then Natrinale, then Ainafinami, we wait for him. But Elo, if you don't really believe it, then you see it as a delaying tactic, you don't have to wait for him. Lo Natrina. Now, in a case where one person owns the land and another person owns a house on that land, so then the Mori Ara can be Ma'akeva Mori Bata. The owner of the land can prevent the owner of the house from...
I think this where we went one line down. It's a case before with the poncho.
Okay.
Then I
did.
Okay,
let me start again. Ari dechad ubati dechad. One guy owns the land and another person owns his building on the land. So if the guy wants to sell the building, then the person who owns the land can say, listen, I am a Baal HaMeitzar, and I want to buy this building. So then that's HaYashar V'HaTov. But if the person who owns the land wants to sell the land, the owner of the building cannot be Ma'akev. Why? Because the building only has rights so long as it's standing. In other words, if this guy buys the right to have a house, he doesn't own the property. He has a right to have the house in my property. The moment that that house collapses, he does not have the right to rebuild the house. It's like the cases where you sell a tree, but the rights to leave the tree in so long as the tree is living. So there the guy doesn't own the property. He has like basically a lien on the property to be able to leave the tree there, the house there. So he doesn't get the rights of a bar mitzvah without any ownership. The same thing is true if I own the property and another guy owns the beautiful palm, date palm, in the property. So over there, the owner of the property could say, listen, you know, it's my property. I always wanted to buy these date palms. If you're selling, you have to give me the right of first refusal. That's fair. But if the guy who is selling the land. The guy with the date tree say, hey, I don't want somebody else on this land. Yeah, well, that's tough. You don't own the land. You just have the right for your trees to be there until they die. If somebody who is not a bar mitzvah, right? So he wants to buy a piece of property to build a house. And another guy who is a bar mitzvah, he says, but I want to buy this, but I want to buy it for agriculture. Then the halacha is that the need for a place to live is more acute than the need for expanding your field. And therefore the yishuv is adif, and there's no din of a bar mitzvah, because it's a bigger chesed, so to speak, to help someone get a place to live than even to help a bar mitzvah to expand his existing farm.
What if it's for luxury apartments?
No, luxury apartment. What do you mean? Wait, that he wants to rent out?
Yes.
No, that's not included. It's for him to be able to live. It's not a din in like the chashivas of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael type of thing. That's not the point. The point is, where's the Yashuv Atov? So the Yashuv Atov is a function of need. Afsik Mishunita Orich Padadikla. Let's say between the two properties that this person is a Bala Meitzah to, there is a section that is not plantable. It's hard rock. Or there's a row of palm trees that prevents you from, and you're not allowed to cut down fruit trees. So if you come along, you say, well, I'd like the piece next door, right? It's not true. I'd like the piece next door. Because you can't farm the piece next door directly from your farm. That's not the same level. In other words, you can't integrate the two properties. The fact that it's easier for you to drive out the front of your farm, drive across the date trees on the road and come back in to enter the next door farm is easier than driving down the block to another farm. That's not called bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is someone who can farm the two fields, and you can't farm the two fields together unless chazina. If there's even enough space for a single furrow of your farm for you to be able to drive your tractor straight through along that furrow, and then you continue on the other side of the break and you go in both directions to continue farming, yes, that's one farm. But if you have to drive out your front door, that's not one farm. So chazina, im yochol ha'achnispa, afilu telem echad, if there's room for even one single talent, then he can claim he needs it as a bar mitzvah. But ilo, let's buy the bar mitzvah. Now, if you have a case where you've got four different people on four different sides of your field, each of whom is claiming the din of bar mitzvah on the field. So now how do we split that? Well, we split it basically like we would a karnazil. So a karnazil would mean where you make like a big X is a karnazil. Karen, meaning a triangle, zil on each side. So what happens is that each guy gets the boundary of the field, and then you take, that becomes the base of a triangle. So let's say you're on the east side. The east side is now a base of a triangle that goes along your field, but you can't go beyond the triangle, because then the other guy, then you're hitting the other guy's, he's got a base of the triangle on the north side. The other guy's got a base of a triangle on the west side. So basically all of these triangles meet, so that if you look at it from above, it would look like an X, the line that we draw through the other guy's square field. And that X splits the field into four pieces, each of which is a triangle, that the base of which is the Bala Meitzah's. Gentlemen? Excellent.
Same question. How long does it have space?
Wait. Wait, wait, all to me. We haven't even found how long you wouldn't have to wait. The guy says to go home. How long do you have to wait for him to go home? That's a question. We shall go over it. Okay, we ready for review? Rav Kufchet. Rabba Barav Nachman Avika Ozil Ba'araba. And Chosa Ahu Abba Dekoya Guda Denahara. Omalo, what a chutzpah. The man. Omalo, the Rabba Baravuna. Omar. The Yad Osarim Vazgadim Aita Bimala Zerishona. Kotsu, Kotsu. Ota Rabba Baravuna. Ashkeche the Kayets. Omar. What? Man katsi my trees. Takuts and pay. I'm a cool and shunny. The Rabba Baravuna. Loikayim lezara la Rabba Barav Nachman. Omar of Yehuda. Hakol leigle gapa. Mafilu miyat. I know Mamish a story like this. It's a horrifying story. Rupchatskal Sarna had given over when he was very old and he was ill. See, he had given over the Rosh Hashivaship of Hebron to his son Chaim. And so the way that he wanted to establish him as a Rosh Hashiva is he put him up to give the Shir Kololi instead of himself. So that was like an assertion that he was the one that was gonna be the next Rosh Hashiva. So there was another guy, it was like, oh yeah, one of the Altar Bochren, who was very against it, and he led a rebellion. Basically, when his son got up, he organized a bunch of guys to take rotten tomatoes and to start throwing it at Reb Chaim Sarna and to start yelling, Arup! Arup! Get off of the Amud! Get off! It was horrible. They were so loud. You heard it and through the entire Geula. It was like the whole yeshiva was going nuts. Hebron at that point was in Geula. So Reb Chatzko said, whoever is behind this that prevents my son, me, from having a son who's a Rosh Hashiva, should not have any sons. The guy never had children. So after like 10 years that it wasn't Mekayim Zari for him, so he became, I mean, it's mamish, like a story out of the Gemara, he became the shamish to this son, to Reb Chaim Sarna. And he became the one who was Motzi and Machnis Talmidim to him, who helped him build the yeshiva, hoping that that would take off the kola of Reb Chatzko. He never had children. But he spent his entire life, can you imagine, working for like the guy that he had tried to prevent. It's like, wow, what a story. Anyway, so this is what happened over here. Yeah. Omer v'yudakol igloi gape afilu miyatmen. Avo rabbonon lo. My time a rabbonon lo tzorich netiruso. The Torah is their shmira. Lekarya lepatya afilu mirabbonon. But that's only lo armed lo nafkabu chluza in work gangs. Avo lo chluza lo. Because rabbonon alapene mefak buchluza nino. And they can give money, but they don't have to work. Omer v'yudakol. Lekarya dinahara. The people downstream have to help the people upstream. Tatoi misaya iloi to dredge, but iloi lo misaya tatoi. But of course, it's just the opposite in sewerage. So chilufa for drainage. Shemay demitra. Tanya miyachi, chamesh ganot amistapkot mayan. Mimayan echad vinit kalkela mayan, kulam mitaknoti me'el yuna. And if she's the only one affected, because it's only from here on down, so then let her pay the whole thing. The king chamesh chatzerot that are mekalchot sewage water, mayim lebiv echad, when it kalkel abiv, so then the upstream people, of course, need to clear out the sewage. So kulam mitaknot ima tachtona. Nimtzeit ha'elyona mitakenet im kulam u'mitakenet latzma. Omer Shmuel, ha'iman da'achzik barakata da'aretz ha'hekav ha'chatzifa. But there's nothing to do about it because Saluki and Omisakina like. Nowadays, however, you can because Aidna, the contract by the Persians goes like this. So then you can even be misalik a third party who tried to homestead it. Or Beni Shutfe, it's Namani. In that case, this is also Chatzifa, but still, what can you do? He homesteaded and he's got a contract. Just to look at Obis Hakinale. Rav Nachman says in such a case will even be Besalikim. Because it's such a violation of Ayashav HaTov. But Dina Dabar Mitzvah Lomis Hakinale. It's only if he's between brothers or something. Whereas Nardoy Amri, what's the difference? Afilimishim Dina Dabar Matzah, you could be Besalikim because it says Asita Vayashav HaTov Bein Hashem. Ata Imlech Bey, and the guy says, is it okay if I sell to this guy? He's a Lisbon, and he says, yeah, go ahead and sell. Tzorek lemikdamineo lo tzorek. So Ravina Omar, lo tzorek. Lemikdamineo lardoi amri, tzorek lemikdamineo. Vihilkata, tzorek lemikdamineo. Hashidi amri tzorek lemikdamineo. How about if he didn't? How about he wasn't Conan? And now the guy comes along and he says, listen, you know, I was in a tough spot, now I want to buy it. So then the Ayakar Vizol is Bereshute. So now, if it was up in the mail, let's say, and it was originally worth Matai, Chazina, Ilakule Amakom Azilna Umazbin, so then Yoav Lamea Vishakule. But if this was a special relationship, so then he has to pay the whole original value, which was Matai, then he can take it. Zavan the Matai Vishav Yamea, Savramina Matsi Amale Lutkunishtarti Kabalavati. There's no such thing as overpaying that you can tell you should be mavata b'shlichus. Because when Nachman said, ain't on a ala karkaot. Zobin like you read the Arab, emtsan nixen. So it's a way, clearly, that you could circumvent the dinner bar mitzvah. And therefore, chazina, if there's a particular reason why this would be sold separately, let's say it's idid, so then, it's a kosher zemina. But ilo, it's a circumvention. And he's a rumik amarim, and we don't allow it to go through. How about a matana? Obviously, there's no dinner bar mitzvah if it's really a matana. But, as a Amemar points out, if the contract includes achrayut and chasim, then it's probably a fake out. So, ikatav le'achrayut, then eat baby shim dinner bar mitzvah, because then it's a fake. He really put money under the table and tried to circumvent the bar mitzvah. Mochar kol nechasav le'achad, there's no din of bar mitzvah. He sold the property back to the Baalim HaRishonim, there's no din of a bar mitzvah. If he was zavan mi'akum, or he sold to an akum, less by mishum din of the bar mitzvah. If he was zavan mi'akum, the guy can say, listen, you should thank me. I got rid of your rotten neighbor. If he was Zavin Le'akum, I mean, you can't come to an Akum and Tana Sita Vayashar, Ayashar Vatov. But certainly, Shemute Vayde Mishantinale, Adem Kabalalekul Unsida Atile Machmatei. If a guy owns a mashkanta against the field, and clearly if he wants to buy it, let Bamishum Dina de Bar Mitzra. Yom Ravashi, Omerly Sabin Matamakasya. The meaning of the word mashkanta is the shachunagabe. I mean, who cares? Who cares? Ladina de bar mitzvah. How about a guy who needs to be mocher barachok in order to be able to get a chance to be goel a field bekarov or barav the gobi afet? He doesn't have to wait around for the bar. There's less but dinner de bar mitzvah. How about if he needs to pay a tax bill, a kargar, a mizone, or kfura? Let Rabbi Shem dinner de bar mitzvah. If something brooks no delay, then we're never metakein bar mitzvah. The Amri Nardo, the Karga, the Mizunim, the Kfura, a Bezdin can sell property of Yitomim without Akrizata. Somebody who sells to a woman, or to Yitomim, or to a Shutaf in the same field, let Babishim did it a bar mitzvah. Shcheinea ir v'shcheinei sadeh, shcheinea ir kodmim. Shachem v'tamid chacham, tamid chacham kodem. Korovet Tamid Chacham, Tamid Chacham Kodem. Yiboilu, how about a shachin v'karov, my tashma? Tov shachin karov me'ach rachok. Hani presents zuzei tavi, and the bar mitzvah presents zuzei tekule, or vice versa. So let's b'mishum din the bar mitzvah. Hani tzayre v'hani shari. Let b'mishum din the bar mitzvah. I don't have to wait. Oh my, izo v'etrach v'ayti zuzei. I don't have to wait for you to get together money. But what if he says, I have the money, and izo l'mayte zuzei from the house, and then we have to wait for him. Below, lo natrinale. Ara de skip, sorry. Chazine, gave the omud of the azulamite. If he's the type of guy that would have that kind of money at home, so then natrinale. Below, lo natrinale. Ara de chadubot, the mori de atra can be ma'akiv, the guy who wants to sell the house, and say, I get the rights of first refusal. So, the mori ara can be ma'akiv. Because basically he owns it. And the other way around, if the guy wants to sell the batim, the ara, the mari the batim, lo ma'akim. Now how about, so he's lo ma'akim amari the ara. How about in a case where the ara is the chad and the adikla is the chad? Same thing. The mari the ara could be b'motzi ma'akim and the mari the adikla. But the mari the adikla, lo ma'atzi ma'akim and the mari the ara. Are lobote va'are lazara, in a case of two people who want to buy for different purposes, yishuv is adif, and therefore if the other guy is a bar mitzvah and wants it for agriculture, there's no din a bar mitzvah. If there's a mishunita of hard rock between the two properties, or there's a rich by the dikva, a straight line of palm trees, so the chazina, im yacholak nispa, even telling a chat, then that's considered to be one field, and there's a dinner bar mitzvah. But you know, let by mishum dinner bar mitzvah. Hani arba abnei batzri mitzri ani, and they all want to buy the same field. So if kadam chad mina v'zavin zvinei zvinei, but if they all come together, ikulu atibari adadi, so then they're pagalo b'kar nazil.
Omer v'yada hakol m'gafa v'afilu miyatne. We're talking about now public work. Everybody is responsible for the doors to the walls, or in other words, to put up closures for the gates around the city. And that is taken from anybody who requires shemira in the city, which includes even yitzomim. Normally we wouldn't take contact with them. Over here, since those yitzomim require shemira, therefore we take from them. We do not take from Tamir Kachomim. In my time, Rabbanan lo tzrich mitzimusa. Tamir Kachomim, the Torah is mishamer them. As it says, b'shul chukad b'shmor alecha, b'ekikyos b'yitzichecha, so that they don't require shmira. The karya de patya, if you're talking about drinking water, patya is a word for cup. So for drinking for your cup, there you could take from everybody, even including Tamir Chachamim, because they too require Amir for drinking water. Lo Avram, Elo Not Kavu Kulusa. This is only, however, if the way in which we deal with these kind of things is through a tax. Everybody actually pays for professionals to dig a well and so on. But if the minig of the city is Avu Kulusa, lo. And if the meaning of the city is to go out and everybody makes a working gang in order to dig the well, then you do not take out Tamir Chachamim. The Rabbanim lost any Nechak Bokhuz and the Rabbanim are not suitable because of the Kavodat Torah to go ahead and to work in a gang. They are only responsible for free money. Omer of Yudah, Lekariya de Nahara, Tatai Mesai Eloi, but Eloi Elo Mesai Tatai. If you have to dig out now, and you have to dredge, actually, we're talking about carrying and dredging. You have to dredge a river. So then, the question is, who has to participate in the dredging costs along the flow of the river? So over there, the ones that are on the end of the flow, towards the bottom of the flow, they have to participate in the expenses of the dredging for people that need to dredge up on the upper part of the river. But Eloi, the people that are on the upper part of the river, are perfectly happy that the river shouldn't be dredged out of its bottom, because it simply raises the water level for them, it goes more slowly, and makes it better for them. Why should they help the people on the bottom that need to dredge in order to get their area properly watered? But there they don't have to participate with the ones that report the outflow of the river. But chilus of the Maya Nitra, where the exact opposite would be true when it comes to drainage systems. In the drainage system, then the upper people are the ones that want to make sure that the drainage is open on the end. So over there, they would have to participate with the people that are down-drained. Now, Shane came the people that are down-drained couldn't care less if the people that are up-drained, they're blocked, that's fine. As long as I'm not blocked, my toilets are flushing fine. And therefore, they don't have to worry about unstopping your drainage problems up the drain. And this is also something that we see in a brisa, as we'll see in a moment. V'chein, chamesh chatzerot, shehayun, sorry, something that we see in a brisa, chamesh binot, hamisatot, mimayana, if you have five gardens that are along one mayan, along a stream, when it's talking about mayan, kulam v'tatnot im ha'elyona, everybody has to work out with the people that are closest to the outlet of the stream to fix things up, because they need it to be fixed at that point in order for them to get the water down to the bottom. But obviously the people towards the bottom are not the responsibility of the people on top. Look at this. You see, you walk out and already people took your place. You decided not to risk your life and go to a lot this morning, huh? Which means that the further you are downstream, the bigger which means that the people that are all the way downstream, they are the ones that are in the biggest problem. They're going to have to be mishtatzeit with everybody, all the way upstream to the beginning of the source of the water. But it's also in the worst position, because anything goes wrong just in its area, then it's mitakenet la'atzma. So the people upstream will always have help from the people downstream, but not vice versa. The chain, there's the same situation, actually it's the inverse situation. Chamesh chatzerot. You've got five different chatzerot, all of which whose drains are emptying into one central drainage system. And it's kalkela b, is the drain. Now, if something goes wrong with the drain, kulam in the tachdoti matachdona, all of the people that are using the drain have to help the person that's all the way at the end of the drain to unplug, because it's affecting them directly. However, the people that are up drain, they're not, the people that are down drain do not have to help the people that are up drain, which is mimsit ha'elyonamit ha'kenetim kulam. And here the opposite is true. The person that is close, that is furthest from the outlet of the drain, they have to pay for everybody's plumbing expenses all the way down the drain, because it's going to back up to them. But if they're backed up and the people down drain are not backed up, so then they're going to have to pay plumbing expenses all on their own. Yeah, that's very common. This problem. Yeah, you know, by the Shutap, that's part of the law. And when Bayit Mishutaf, there's a special law, Bayit Mishutafim. Because they're not a Shutafut. They're separate people. Bayit Mishutaf, there's a law that defines them as being, and it's actually being Mishutafim, like co-op. You know, special co-op laws, they're saying to me in the States. Thank you. How much more? Haimanda Aksik, Barakta Dehara, Chatsifa Pavit. We had a whole discussion yesterday about the special status of the area that runs alongside a public waterway. Now, that is unfortunately not enforceable in a Jewish court in Bavel, if the people that are going to violate it are still in line with civil courts. And so, all we can say is, somebody who went ahead, and at that time they had a something like the equivalent of homesteading that we used to have in the New World, which was that we had this earlier, that if you were willing to pay the taxa, which was the land tax, then you were the one that could take over the land. If somebody defaulted on his taxes, the one who was willing to go and pay the taxes could take over the property. Any land that wasn't owned could also be taken over by someone who was willing to pay up front the land tax. So it's essentially the equivalent of homesteading, and the law was, as far as the Torah law was concerned, that because the area alongside a public waterway has to be available for public use, for loading and unloading barges and so on, it was offered to go ahead and to be zoked in it. Once the law was passed by the Persians, the Persians that took over locally from Babel, in any event, they had this law, so therefore would be considered a chutzpah to go ahead and take advantage of the law, to take area that was meant for public use. But however, unfortunately, we have no way of getting them out of there, because this is part of the din of the Malchus and Dinah that we said earlier, and that's binding on us. But even if the Kasri Parsoi, Knilachar Molik Savaris Susia Maya, Shalukinam and Sakinale, now that we have this new Persian law, which allows a person who owns area next to a river to be Kona up until his horse, neck, is in water, is the way that they would measure it. So that means he actually gets the area in the public area, too. Nonetheless, of course, Jews wouldn't take advantage of that and would keep their fences back for amas from the area because of the Din Torah. So now if some no good thing wants to go and say, nobody's using this land, I'll go get it, now you have the legal means, the civil legal means, to get them out of there. Because your contract is covered by the new law that, technically speaking, you have right even into the river as far as your horse is going to be able to go without swimming. So therefore, you can exercise that right and get this person who was just before just on the chutzah. Now you can actually move him out of there legally, the mesalkinim way. Omer of Yudom Rav, Hai man da avzik bini afi of bini shutzah, chati fahavi, somebody who goes and buys a field, or takes over, actually, afzik is not to buy, but to take over with this law, that you're willing to do, if this was a property that nobody was willing to pay taxes on. So you go, move in, and you are going to take the property. And you're mamzik on a field that is between brothers, or between shutafim. Now that too, that's a chutzpah. Because the people that were on either side, obviously to them it's a tremendous advantage to have this land. Apparently they couldn't afford it right now. In other words, they weren't ready to move in and start paying taxes and develop the land. But they certainly did not think that anyone would have the chutzpah to go ahead and take it, and therefore you're going ahead and taking it is in fact a chutzpah. However, there's nothing we can do about it because you're within your civil legal rights because of the local laws. But Rav Nachman says, no, not even Sakyala. We can't actually use Torah law, whatever means we have, to get rid of them. And we'll see why. The Imishum Dina the Bar Mitra. However, if it's only because of a din of a bar mitzvah, you cannot be mitzalikim. Now, a din of a bar mitzvah means, which is based really on the same halacha, the din of a bar mitzvah means a right of first refusal of anybody who owns adjacent property. So in other words, if you own a property that is next to someone else, and you sell it to a third party, that next to someone, that person can come and say, now hold on a second, I wanted to buy that if I would have known you were going to sell it. And therefore, he can actually, the din of the bar mitzvah is not only the right of first refusal, but it's actually a lien on the right of first refusal. So if the owner sold it to a third party, you can go ahead and take it from that third party with the claim of the right of first refusal. Of course, you'll have to pay him, but you can take this to force him to give you the land. Now here, the land that you were taking over, which would be Mazik, that is only, we can misalkinah lay, only because of the din of Shutvis, were brothers, not the normal din of Bar Mitzvah. And Rashi says that Rav Nachman must not hold of the din of Bar Mitzvah. However, many Rishonim argue on him and say that this is not the normal din of a Bar Mitzvah. The normal din of Bar Mitzvah, someone owns himself. But the din of Bar Mitzvah doesn't give you a right to a hefker property, which was somebody else was able to take over. You can say, well, where am I going to get a property like that? This is the property I want. I can be marked. So therefore, all that the halakha is telling us over here, Reb Nachman, is that this special halakha that we will force you out from a property nobody owned, you were just taking it over by government rights of homesteading, there's no din of Bar Mitzvah, but there is a din of forcing you out where you are in the middle of fields that are owned by a partnership or by brothers and so on, and therefore this would be clearly something that is very advantageous to them. You can even push them out because of the din of Bar Mitzvah. Now this is the in which we take it as a Torah principle, which we will sometimes embody in an act of the court, and they'll come into our body, is the principle being you're supposed to do what is right, not simply what is, technically speaking, legal. And since, okay, technically speaking, it's legal for an owner to be able to sell to anybody he wants, but it's, the truth is it's no sweat off his back. He's going to make the same money to sell to the neighbor to whom it's worth a lot more. So therefore, we force him by making a takana and actually giving that neighbor a lien on the land which consists of a right of first refusal. So therefore, says the Nardoi, this is actually no different because the takana is on a buyer. So a buyer who goes now, or somebody who's being mazik who goes, that someone who's being mazik can also is also subject to the same limitations of asita vayashavatov. Don't be mazik here. We will get you out of here if you try to be mazik. That's what the Nardoi says. Also, English thing. Now, if a guy comes along and he asks, is it okay? He goes over to the person who is the neighbor to this field, and he says to him, look, I'd like to buy the adjacent field. I know that you have the right of first refusal. I don't want to get involved in any arguments. Are you interested in buying or not? And you just tell me if you're interested, and I'll get out of here. And the guy says to him, go ahead and buy it. Zilzvon. Our question is, must you have a formal acknowledgement? You need to make a kinyan so that the person now cancels his rights of first refusal, or is it simply the asita hayashar v'atov? Now, certainly hayashar v'atov, to ask the guy, why do I have to be more than moral? That's moral. I asked the guy, he said, go ahead and buy it. So why should I need a actual legal kinyan that gives me over the right of his lien, you'll ask. And this is what the Gemara is saying. Which one do I need? That's exactly what happens over here. You see, first of all, let's discuss what the difference would be. Here the question is whether, because of our formalization of the right of Hagashar V'Atov as a lien, it's no different than any other lien. And therefore, to say, but I now did the moral thing, you're right. If we hadn't formalized this particular requirement, this would be the moral thing and nobody would have any tainas on you. Yes, the guy. He said, go ahead and buy it. However, now, because of the original, this is often what happens, of course, in legalities. Once we embody that right and we make it a legal right with an actual lien, it now has to follow the normal format of legality. So you'll say, but the fact is that the person was mabatim, not necessarily. Because you see, as a neighbor, he may well want to take advantage of his right of first refusal by having you buy and then him taking it from you. Because if he attempts to buy, then the owner knows that he's willing to pay more money because he's the neighbor. So he'll up the price. So here comes some sucker, comes and says, should I buy? Oh, absolutely. Go right ahead and buy it. So he'll get it 20% cheaper, then I'll just go get it from him and pay my 20%. He'll say, oh, but that's not very nice. You're right. But once we already gave him those legal rights, what does he have to do now in order to make sure that person's been mavata on those rights? Okay? That's our question. To what extent did we formalize the din of the Bar Mitzvah over here?
What if the neighbor is a bad neighbor? Neighbor's a bad neighbor, has been for years, you hate him. He doesn't like you either.
T-U-F-F.
What? What?
T-U-F-F.
What? I don't like that. The law exists even though he's a bad neighbor?
The law of doing right for wrong to a person has nothing to do with your gut feeling. That's correct.
You have to sell to that neighbor whether you want to or not?
Yeah, unless you can claim that you're still going to be there, then you can claim that it's damaging to you to sell him. That's fine. In other words, if you're still going to be in the area and you're getting him closer to you than you had him before, and you want to try to avoid his being there because somebody else is going to knife it to you, that you're out of right to claim. This is only where you don't suffer.
You don't have a right to claim whether you don't like this guy or not, no matter what he's done to you before.
That's right.
He's been a really bad neighbor.
Mm-hmm. It's called revenge.
It's called revenge.
Yes, it's prohibited by biblical law. As a matter of fact, even thinking about it, mentioning the fact to him, see, I'm a nice guy, not like you, and I'll tell you.
It's good, but it's okay for the guy to do to you. That's okay.
Okay, for who?
I'm not supposed to have revenge.
Did you get out of kindergarten yet? Or you? Tell me something.
I'm hearing about it all the time.
I want to know. Are you still in kindergarten or what? What do you mean for him it's okay? By whom? By whom for him it's okay? Are you God?
I'm not God.
If you're not God, then by him it's okay, because that's none of your damn business.
He could be bad.
By you? Are you God?
No.
If you're God, then the answer is no. If you're not God, the answer is it's none of your business.
I'm going to pick it up with you.
You are God. Maybe not with a capital G, but...
I'm going to check it out.
All right. So now, what's the difference?
Your neighbors are terrible. I don't understand that.
I understand this. Ravina Omar.
Say one thing in 2 years and I'll be on my case for the rest of
my life. Ravina Omar, lo tzorech l'mikmemine, and I have a yom tzorech l'mikmemine. So here we have a machlokas, whether you need to get a formal dissolution of his right of first refusal. The hilchos said, the halacha is that you do need to get a formalization of it. He has to be actually kona the fact that he's giving you the right to go ahead and buy it. Now, hash to the amit tzorech l'mikdayim, but now the problem is this. Now that you've said that he does have to get a formal relinquishment of that right, then that implies that ilo konomine, if you didn't go ahead and get that formal right, and remember that his advantage in this thing, in not giving you that formal right, is to use you essentially as an agent. He's claiming he let you go ahead, because for all intents and purposes, he wanted to use you as the purchaser, as a front, so that the price wouldn't go and be changed because he was the bar mitzvah and therefore he would be taken advantage of. So now the question is, what happens if the so-called agent, who didn't even know he was an agent, what happens if he gets a special deal? What happens if the guy sells it for cheaper? Or what, because of a relationship between them? Or what happens if the guy overcharges him? So what happens in that case? So now the question is like this. Let's say, if he was Zavan Demeya Vishavim Amatai, let's say that he bought it now for 100 and it was worth 200. So Chavina, Ilakuli Amakoma Zilnu, if he generally, this person who was selling, now to everybody, he was interested in dumping properties, he was selling cheap to everybody, fine, so then you can pay him that 100 and take Vishavim. The Ilo, however, if it implied that there was a special relationship between the two, then you'd have to pay him the normal price, because for all intents and purposes, the difference in the price between the real market value and what he paid was a gift to him. And you can't take advantage of the gift to him by taking it away. So you'd have to pay him 200, which is the market value, and only then shock your life. On the other hand, Zavin Bimatan, let's say if he now buys it for 200. Okay? He gets the Gita on it. Yeah, no, the guy who is, so to speak, gifted to. Zavan de Matar.
That's on the condition that you didn't make this.
Right, so you did not make the kingdom.
You didn't make the kingdom.
You didn't formalize it. Zavan de Matan, if the guy overpaid, and it was only worth 100, he paid 200, it was only worth 100, sovereignly may not, they thought in the base of Medrash that the implication of the original halakha that we said was that essentially he's acting as your agent. That's what we thought, because that's what it sounds like, is that the non-formalization that still gives you the right to take over his deal means that essentially he was acting as your agent. The din of an agent, however, is always that you can say, well, l'tikune shavati v'lo shavatich, I sent you l'tikune to be good for me, v'lo la'avatev, and not to destroy things for me. So if he would have really been an agent, let's say you would have empowered him, you would have given him a power of attorney to go ahead and buy the field for you at market rate, and he overpaid, you could say, well, that's your problem, that's not my problem. So we thought you could do the same thing over here, and you could tell him, well, it's too bad that you paid. I'm only giving you the 100. You shouldn't have paid him that much. But Markashisha Breda Rapista told Ravashi, no, that's a wrong inference. Okay, I mean, Naragoi Mishum to Ramakwin. About this case, the Naragoi quote Ramakwin was the head judge in Naragoi. Ein ona ala karka oath. We apply here the general aloha that karka has no set value, so that there's no ona out, because somebody may just say, well, you know, that's what it's worth to me. Since ein ona ala karka oath, so because of that, you cannot turn around and say, this is what I paid, this is what it's worth to me. You want it, pay me what it's worth to me. Zogamed Yehuya the Arba Nitzanetze. Now, we have a little bit of a problem over here. Problem is that this whole issue is open to very simple ways of getting around. What's the word for getting around? Circumventing. It's circumventing. Right? How do we circumvent it? It's very simple. I first buy a field from you in the middle of the field that I want, which will then be surrounded entirely by your property. So I buy the field in the middle, claiming I only want that field. You give me a right of way to the field. And then after I take that field, I now, of course, become myself a bar mitzvah. So now I have the same right of first refusal on the rest of the field that you have. Right? So now I come along and say, well, I own an adjacent field. This is right in the middle of this field, so I should certainly have a right to buy out the whole field. How do we avoid that kind of thing? Huh? So now, if the guy buys a Giruya Da'ari, buys a small piece of land, the Mitzah Nichse, in the middle of this guy's property. Now, what we do is Chazina. We take a look and see whether that's an artificial sale or whether it's a correct sale, or a true sale. How do we see that? Is the property defined? Or was it artificially defined? In other words, if there's something unique about that piece of land, it's very high quality land, I mean, that we can excuse the fact somebody may want specifically that land because he wants to grow something special on good land. Or it's his junk land, so that the owner is trying to get rid of his worst things, he doesn't want to farm it, he sells it to some sucker. Okay, then it makes sense, then the purchase is a valid purchase. But if not, if there's nothing that defines it naturally, then we have to assume a Yerune Kamari. This whole thing is just a trick to circumvent the din of bar mitzvah, and we cancel the sale. Matana, let bamishum din of bar mitzvah. A guy can give a gift to whomever he wishes, and if he gives a gift, then there's no din of bar mitzvah. You can't say, well, wait a minute, I had right of first refusal. Hey, man, I wasn't planning on giving you any gift. I have somebody that I care about, and I want to give him a gift. You can't come along and say, but I want to buy. I'm not selling. But of course, this provides another way of circumventing, right? No, it's a gift, something like that, a gift contract, the money goes under the table, in which case, there's no din of bar mitzvah, because for all intents and purposes, might as well forget it. Aha! There's a very simple way of telling the difference between a gift and a sale. Every sale is accompanied by a guarantee, a title insurance guarantee. Since there were no title insurance companies, the person has to provide his own title insurance. That's called achrayut. If anybody comes and takes this property claiming that he had a lien on it, I will replace it. You don't do that for a gift. You take it on yourself. Somebody takes away your gift, I'll give you another gift. Well, I've never heard of such a thing. So therefore, if the contract includes also achrayut to faith, to fulfill, is pretending to be a gift. So therefore, ikata says ameimar, ikata v'lay achrayut, itva vishun dinir v'amir. For if there is achrayut written on it, then we view it as a sale, not as a gift, and it goes back to dinir v'amir.
You put the money under the table, you can put the achrayut under the table too?
No, because the contract. In other words, once the court is going to see that contract, you're in trouble. Another problem comes about if a person wants to sell all of his property, wherever it is, and comes along now somebody says, well, I just want the field in this place. You can't come along to screw the deal for the seller. Because again, it's very possible the only reason this guy is buying is just buying an out. Once he gets into trouble with some neighbor who's bringing soup and he wants it, then he says, forget about it, I'm not interested in the whole property. So since this entire halacha is based only on vasita yashar v'ato, you're supposed to be doing what is right, we're not going to make you lose money to do what's right, but it no longer is it what's right. And therefore, there's no din in this case of bar mitzvah. Furthermore, in a case of ba'alim arishonim, somebody who is selling a field back to an individual that owned it at one time, there, that person has emotional relationship to the field, and you can't say, well, I'm the next door neighbor. He has a right to go back to where he was. There too, lots of mishum dina de bar mitzvah. If you buy a field, zavin me akum, or zavin le akum, somebody who buys a field from a goy, or he sells a field to a goy, there's no din of bar mitzvah in that case. Why? Zavin me akum, remember, the din of the bar mitzvah is a din on the buyer, not on the seller. So you should, theoretically, you're right, you cannot force the guy who is selling into a din of bar mitzvah. But the din of bar mitzvah is a din of a buyer. The buyer is supposed to be a yashar v'tov. The guy is not supposed to be a yashar v'tov. So why don't we say to the buyer, excuse me, sir, but to somebody that should have been allowed to buy the field? Because he could say to Amalek, Ari Avrasila from Minitra. Listen, man, I did you a big favor. You had a guy that was next door. I bought him out. The guy could have done God knows what to you, okay? Well, you need an Arab living next door. So don't come along now and say, you would have liked to buy the property. I did you a favor in buying the property. If you sell to a guy, now here the guy is the one who's in the position of being subject to the law of first refusal of the other guy. We can't say to a guy, the Torah says you're supposed to do what's right. Say it to me. Right? So obviously we can't make a takonah that a guy is supposed to do what's right, because he's not tired to do what's right. So therefore, the akum vadai lav barasita yashar v'tov, we can't force a guy to do what's right. Why should he not mechuyav to do what's right? Again, all of these things are not moral gut feelings. They're based on chiyuvim in the Torah. So the fact that you like the guy to do what's right doesn't mean you have a right to force him to take away his legal rights. So you cannot assert a Jewish legal right over a guy because the guy should have done what's right. It's a very important and subtle point, but it's extremely important to see this. We don't assert what's right. We assert what's right where the Torah says to assert what's right. Right? And the Torah was not. You get that sense? It's very important. We do not live according to moral gut feelings. The fact that the guy is amachuyas in this thing, we can't say, well, you should be more moral. Why should I be? Who said I should be? But the guy now, who is in the position of having sold to the guy, now that guy should not have sold to the guy because he's bringing in the lion into the neighborhood, so to speak. So him, shamute vare mishampinam, we actually put him into nidri, until he accepts upon himself all damages that come from the fact that he sold now to this guy. So this, of course, this is a favorite tactic, and it was a favorite tactic of blockbusting in the 60s, where somebody would buy an apartment, sell it to a black, bust up the neighborhood, and everybody would start moving out, right? That's exactly the case over here, in which what you're doing now is causing damage to people by bringing in neighbors that are dangerous for them and so on, right? However, as it points out, that this is only where a Jew would be willing to pay the same amount of money that the black would pay. But if they're willing to overpay to get into the white neighborhood, you're not mechuyev to, I mean, that's the other issues, but in terms of this particular din of bringing in a dangerous neighbor, you're not mukhiyah to take a law. No, yeah, no, it's a Talmud Sefer.
That's
a separate thing. That doesn't have rights in it unless you're talking about a Ger Tosha. Oh, this is a problem. Oh, you know anybody who would do such a thing? Mashkanta, less permission than a bar mitzvah. A guy who has a mashkanta, and remember that the derech of the mashkanta was that the person actually uses the field, so the mortgage then would be paid back by the use of the field. So then in that case, if he, the owner now, wants to sell the field to the lender who took the mashkanta on the field, less permission given by mitzvah, that guy next door cannot get the lender out of that field with his right of first refusal. Why is that? The Omer of Ashi, and we had this before, Omerli Sabat Amata Machasya, my mashkanta, why do we call a mortgage a mashkanta? The shchuna gave, because he becomes the shachem. So mashkanta is a lotion of shchuna. What's the meaning? Why not kamina? I mean, what, we just pick a word? No! It means legally he's the shachem. He becomes the din of the bar mitzvah. He now becomes the person who is able to say, look, I lent the guy the money. I've been moved into this field. Now I want to buy it. So I'm not just the guy that's coming from the outside. He, in fact, can insist that he should be the one that has the right of first refusal. By the way, it's not focused about whether he actually gets the right of first refusal, mamish, or what. Remember, there's two steps in the bar mitzvah. One is it gives me the right to buy and to avoid another person's right of first refusal. But the other question is whether I now become prime tenant. That somewhere in mashkanta means that he is prime tenant, meaning that he's the one that can now have the only right of first refusal, insisting that even if the guy had sold under his nose to somebody else, that he could take it away from that somebody else. This is already my focus, how far the din of shchuna gabe can extend. Some of the other issues, by the way, that we discussed also, there's machlokas in as to whether we're talking about getting rid of the other person, or whether we're talking about your right, which is the same as the other person. In this case, just keep that in mind. These halakhas are a little bit more complex than they appear on the surface because of the double meaning of rights of bar mitzvah. Limkar v'rachok, l'gol b'karov, for somebody who needs to sell now a field that is far away from another field that he's trying to buy back or trying to, that's the literal meaning of legal. Here it doesn't really mean buy back. Here it would mean a field that he needs to buy in location B. He's got a field in location A. A deal suddenly come up on a field that he needs to buy in location A. He wants to sell immediately field in location B. So he needs to get his money together. He wants to sell Barah, he wants to sell a crummy field, and he's finally got this opportunity to put money down on a good field, to go be a fair. In these cases, let Bamishum Dinir Bamish, in any case where the guy needs to get his money out immediately, then there's no Tovi Yashar. I'm telling him, well, wait a minute, find out if the other guy wants to buy. I don't have a minute to wait. Over there, we have to be just as good to him, and he has to be just as good to himself, he has to be to the neighbor. So if the neighbor never indicated that he has money now, cash in hand, that he wants to go, if there's going to be any delay, he may end up the deal that he needs. And I'm mechayev him to lose in any way to do good for his neighbor. It's only where it's no sweat off his back, and here it is. And therefore we can't force him into that case. Furthermore, lecharda, lemezoni, v'lekvura, if you need to get money out of the property because you need to pay off the IRS before they do God knows what to you, or you need to pay up, you've got a suit by your wife or kids to pay for their mezonos, or for burial, somebody in the family died and needs to be buried. Again, these are things that bear no delay whatsoever, less by Mishum Dinan of Amitre, because as the Nargal pointed out, the cargo, the mizoni, the kvura, when it comes to taxes, when it comes to mizonot, and when it comes to the burial expenses, mizaminan below afrezata, we will sell a property that somebody is trying to collect from without going through the normal process of putting ads in the newspapers and making sure that we're getting the best possible price. Because normally, when we need to take something from Yitomim, and the court is in charge of it, they go through a whole complex process of afrazah. But over here, we do not brook delays, because if they get angry at you in the IRS, you're in big trouble. So we're not going to be, better take a loss now than to get involved in that. Furthermore, a woman, you sold it to a woman, or you sold it to an orphan, or you sold it to a shutas of you, there's no din of bar mitzvah, because again, the old din of bar mitzvah is because of asiyas al yashar v'hatov. Okay, so what is that based on? It's based on the assumption that the person that you sold it to is going to be just, it's just as easy for him to buy somewhere else, but for me, the next door neighbor, this is very specially valuable. So why should you sell it to someone when you can sell it to me? However, for a woman or for an orphan, it is not just as easy to go buy somewhere else, because a woman does not generally have those kind of connections. She doesn't generally go around looking for fields. It's something that comes her way. To take it away from her by the right of first refusal is just as cruel as it is to take it away from the maker. It doesn't make sense. The same thing would be true of somebody who's got a shutafut in a thing, and say that somebody, what's the difference to you? That doesn't make any sense. Because he is the prime shachein, if he's a shutaf. Because being that they haven't been mechalek the property, so now he can claim, in essence, I'm involved in this property in every molecule. Now, if you have a problem of shachene ha'ir, u'shachene sadeh, shachene ha'ir kodmin. Now, Rashi says, and Tosfos disagrees with him, Rashi says we are not talking about the din of bar mitzvah. There's a number of clear indications, as we'll see, that this is not part of the takona of bar mitzvah, but it's a general question of the correct moral hanhaga. So the Gemara is simply saying, what is the correct thing to do? The guy has a field to sell that is not directly adjacent to any of the two people that are offering him money now. So he's got somebody who's his next door neighbor who says, hey Joe, come on, you feel, you're ready to sell it, I want to buy it. He's got another guy who is also a shakane in agriculturally, not the next field that would be the bottom of five to sell the bar mitzvah, but he's a shakane, has a relationship with him, in that they both farm the same area. Which shenut comes first in terms of decency? That's the question over here. Shene ha'ir told me, it's where you live that comes first. Shachain the Tamid Chacham Kodem. And here it says Rashi, is a clear indication we can't be talking about our maker. We're not going to tell Tamid Chacham that he's not a Yashar Vatov. It's crazy. On the contrary, that should be most demanding of. So we're not talking about a bit of bondage. So here you've got a Tamid Chacham wants to buy a property, and you've got also a neighbor who wants to buy a property, neither of whom are adjacent to the property. Who comes first? Tamid Chacham Kodem. Korov the Tamid Chacham. You have a relative in a Tamid Chacham. Tamid Chacham Kodem. How about if you have a neighbor and a relative? What is then? Well, it says, Kov Shachin Korov Mihak Kachot. Better a close neighbor than a far brother. Hani Zuzi Tati. Hani Zuzi Tekule. Let's say one of the people that are ready to buy are bringing Zuzi Tati, which means that they are more likely, remember we did distinguish in that Zahav, between the factors that go into money, one of which was how easy it is to spend, with some factor, so that if it's more legal tender, it has advantages. Other zuzim may actually weigh more, but be more difficult to spend in this area. Now, there's grounds for preferring one or the other, depending on your needs, obviously. So therefore, if he's got from a buyer who's not a bar mitzvah, and a buyer is a bar mitzvah, different offers. One is giving him zizi tuvi, one is giving him zizi tekulei. He can claim that he wants one or the other. Let bar mishum din in a bar mitzvah. There's no din a bar mitzvah because again, when the seller has a preference, we cannot hurt the seller for the benefit of a buyer. Hani tsairei v'hani shari. One of them is presenting money that is sealed now, needs to be opened and counted, and and he does not want to open and count it unless it's in the presence of the guy, in the presence of witnesses. This guy's going to come and say, no, there was more. You pocketed money and so on. The other guy's presenting him with money that is, has not been packaged. So over there too, that's when Mishum Bar Mitzvah. Because he can say, look, I'm not interested in spending time over here waiting for the guy to show up. If the Bar Mitzvah says, well, let me go, I can raise the money. He does not have to wait for him to go raise the money. Either write me a check or forget about it. If the guy says, let me just go home and get my checkbook. So then, if he's a guy that we know has that kind of money, so then, fine, if he could be also a maestro, he can ask us to wait, unless, of course, there's one of those circumstances where the money was needed instantly, which was said, then forget about it. You know, but because the guy claims to have money, we don't think he's got the cash. We think it's just a delaying tactic, and he hopes to ask a neighbor to lend him the money and so on. Low not really. You don't take a chance on a buyer in hand for a buyer in the bush. Ara dechad, ubati dechad. If you have now land that belongs to one person and a home that belongs to another person that's on that land, mari ara ma'akir amari bati. But Mari Bati, lo ma'akev amari the ara. The owner of the land can be ma'akev, the seller of the house, with the right of a bar mitzvah. And he could say, now look, if you're selling the house anyway, it's on my property. I don't like the idea of having this, what do you call it, an access?
By the way.
That is another word for it. Yeah. What's in the deed when you allow for access? Uh-huh. No, it's a special way thing. All right, then. I don't want anybody anyway coming. No, we've all said that. There's a special word for it. So he can be ma'akev on him. He can say, no, don't sell it to somebody else because it's obviously for me, Yarshiva Tov, that I should be able to be there. But the Mari Bati, the ma'akev Mari Ara, because he's not considered to be a shakhen at all. Because he's just somebody who essentially has a lease on the land to use for his house. So he can't tell the guy, don't sell your land out from under me. The land's none of your business. And therefore, he's not the permanent shakhen here at all. The same thing is true if you have ara dechad v'dikli dechad. Somebody has the right to trees on a piece of land. The owner of the land can force him, if he's selling, to sell it to him. So must be the Mari Da'ara to be Ma'akev Amari Dikli, but the Mari Dikli only has a right to trees, produce, and not to anything else. He can't be Ma'akev the Mari Ara. That's a temporary use of the Shank, essentially.
If somebody has the right, say, for so many years.
Easement was the land word.
If somebody has the right to something, he has a lease, let's say for the trees or for the house, 10 years, and I say I'm selling it now. I mean, is it written in the law that has to pass on to the owner the next owner?
Yeah, of course. I can't sell more than I have.
Yeah.
That's a different point.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But we did not put temporary shchenut under the general rule of bar mitzvah. The fact that it's convenient for you for the next 10 years, for the duration of your lease, to have it, we're not going to give you rights that are permanent in terms of somebody else's barn. Now, if you have a question of selling ara labati or ara lazari, you could be selling a piece of property that could be used either for purposes of building on it. And there's another guy who is the bar mitzvah, and he says, well, I want to use it for farming purposes. So there already we don't have equal uses. In that case, Yishuv Adif Veles Bamishum Dina the bar mitzvah. There we say we did not make a din of Asisa Yashiva Tov for different purposes. If somebody is a developer. A developer is a different type of usage. And we're going to talk about it's more valuable for the developer than it is for the farmer. And then we're ma'adif development over farming in that case. We're not going to give it a din of bar mitzvah at all.
So
this time we mean, when Yishuv, we mean actual Yishuv, right?
Yeah, but it's not like the previous question that you asked about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
But alright, I'm calling Yishuv?
No, here we're calling this, in other words, development, we're calling more Yishuv than far. Here in this case, you call Yishuv Basin. It's not a technical term. Afsik Mishunito, Rikhbadadikla, let's say between the two properties, we have an outcropping of rock, or we have a large hedge-like affair that was made out of the Kalim trees that really prevent you right now from farming both fields directly anyway. And the Din of Bar Mitzvah is based also on the fact that you are saving a lot of money in having able to wholesale farm than retail farm, so to speak. And I've got to bring now all my implements over to another piece of property 3 miles away. And I can have a place next door. But here you can't really plow a hotel. You're going to have to move anyway. Get onto the street, pull your plow over to the other side. So the question is there a dinner bar mitzvah? Chazina. If in some way you fit the bill, you'd be able to move your plow through just one area and now plow that one furrow straight across one field into the other field because there's a break in the rock. Well, there's a break in the hedge, then you have a din of mitzvah. You allow that permission din of mitzvah. Honey, arba b'nei matran, if you've got four people that are adjacent on four sides of a property, the kodim chagi, now one of them comes and buys it out from the other one. Since they're all equal rights, zine, they don't have a right to get him out once he managed to buy. If all four come together, ikulo atabari adade, what we do is we go to the diagonal, we split the thing down, we draw two lines across the diagonal, each field then gets the right to the diagonal, to the triangle that was cut out that's adjacent to his field. And that's the closest you get as a bar mitzvah, we'll split it that way. Yeah, like as you can see here in the little picture where they actually put in the little trees in the picture, it's very impressive. In case you can figure out how you totally explain it.